Amen. रात काली बीत गई है हुआ सवेरा, रात काली बीत गई है हुआ सवेरा, सुबह का तारा देखो चमका यीशु मेरा, सुबह का तारा देखो चमका यीशु मेरा, इसलिए मैंने ये गीत गाया, इसलिए मैंने ये गीत गाया, मेरा जीवन बदल गया जब से प्यारा यीशु आया, मेरा जीवन बदल गया जब से मैंने उसे है,
come on everybody,
रात काली बीत गई है हुआ सवेरा, रात काली बीत गई है हुआ सवेरा, सुबह का तारा देखो चमका यीशु मेरा, सुबह का ओ देखो हाँ यीशु मेरा, हाँ इसलिए मैंने ये गीत
सम्मिलकर,
इसलिए मैंने ये गीत गाया, मेरा जीवन बदल गया जब से प्यारा यीशु आया, मेरा जीवन बदल गया जब से मैंने उसे पाया, मेरा जीवन बदल गया।
Father God, we thank you for this blessed time. We come to your presence, O Lord, we ask for your grace. Lord, we are your people. We speak your word, and you only reign in this place. We ask your Holy Spirit to touch my lips, O God, and the ears of your hearers, O Lord. And Lord, speak to me and to speak to everybody. Lord, we are weak vessels, but we are strong when you are with us, O God. And today we want to hear a word from you, Lord. Speak to our hearts and speak to our generation. Speak in this place. Let your voice resonate in this place, O God. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. We bind every power of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ, and everything that comes against the revelation, and everything that comes against the spiritual atmosphere, we cast them out in the name of Jesus, and we release healing in the name of Jesus. We release peace in the name of Jesus. Thank you for blessing us all together. In Jesus' name, we pray, and the church shout out. Amen, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to start a small sermon series. And the name of the series is Survivors. Survivors. And throughout this series, we'll be exploring the book of Daniel, because there are so many revelations that we as a church, we need to understand. So it will be a book of Daniel that we'll be talking about. And the whole theme of the series will be Survivor. And I'm talking the first topic on the series, and the first topic today, probably there are five or six topics that I want to share, and we will continue to share this, and I pray that this was a great blessing for me when I studied. It will be a great blessing for you all, and I'm sure about it. So for today, it will be God's plan in our struggles. God's plan in our struggles. So this will be an intro today. We'll be discussing about little about the history, and then we'll jump into this subject, and we'll see what God has to do in this generation through us, what God wants to see, what we need to see in our life when God starts dealing with us. So first of all, I want to bring your attention towards one verse of Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. And as the custom of this church, we will read it all together. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Let's read it together. You are doomed if you call evil good and call good evil. Destruction is certain when you call darkness light and light darkness. When right is considered wrong, what's wrong is considered right. When you claim what is bitter is sweet, and what is sweet you call bitter. Any time in history, God has always dealt this very seriously. And why I bought this verse is that we live in a contemporary world where norms are changing. The norms are changing, the balance beam is changing, the measurements are changing. Everything, all the velocity and viscosity of the faith is changing, the definitions are changing, and we have a new definition every day about our faith, about our practices. But God wants to remind the church and the modern era that, you know, whenever you see this in history, every time God has intervened. Whenever you see this in history, God has intervened. But when God intervenes, he keep his saints safe. He keep his church safe. He keep his beloved safe. And in this course of time, when we are talking about this, when Isaiah was prophesying this, there are a couple of prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Micah, almost these prophets, they were prophesying these kind of prophecy, and Israel was not taking heed of these prophecy. This was the time when almost like 2020 years back, almost like 600 BC, when this thing happened in history, and all these prophets were crying out, oh, whenever you call evil good and call good evil, destruction is certain. When you call darkness light and light darkness, make sure the doom is very near. Whenever you say wrong is right and right is wrong, make sure the destruction is very near. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah is a weeping prophet. He was continuously talking about this. And whenever God reminds this, something happens in history. And it was in 660 BC when in history, Israel, that was the powerful kingdom ruled by Judah family. And Judah was on the top of its prime reign. And Israel was so strong. And that was a time when all these things happened. Three sins that were considered against Israel. Number one was immorality. Number two was idolatry. And number three was injustice. There are three sins that were considered. And what are the three sins? Number one, morality. Second, idolatry. And third, injustice. There were three sins that came against. God said, you know, and God was very particular. I see these three. And if you can, read Psalms. You know, during this time, there was it was not a prophet, but there was a songwriter during the same period. There was a songwriter. He was not a prophet. He could not prophesy. But in his song, you know, and his name was Asaph. Asaph was during this one. He was a good songwriter. He wrote 12 songs, if you know, 12 songs. And 12 songs in Psalm. So Psalm 82 is one of the songs of Asaph, and it was during this time. And see what he writes. Let's read together. God presides over heaven's court, and he pronounces judgment on the judges. How long will you, judges, hand down unjust decision and show partiality? Give fair judgment to the poor and orphans. Uphold the rights of oppressed and defenseless. Rescue the poor and helpless, and deliver them from heartless evil people, because the leaders are foolish and lack understanding. People are living in dark times, and all the foundation of the society is shaken to the. So this was the situation. This was the history. And on during that time, even through all this prophecy, Israel was like, never mind. Never mind. It's not for me. It's not for us. I'm the most holy. You know, why we take these examples is to relate this with our present time. പഴയ നിയമത്തിലെ ദാനിയേലിൻ്റെ പ്രവചനത്തിനകത്ത് പുസ്തകത്തിനകത്തു നിന്ന് എടുക്കുന്ന ഈ ഒരു ചരിത്രം ഇത് എല്ലാ കാലത്തും ആവർത്തിച്ചിട്ടുണ്ട്. ഏതൊക്കെ ദേശങ്ങളിൽ ഐഡോളട്രി കൂടിയിട്ടുണ്ട്, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ വിഗ്രഹ ആരാധന കൂടിയിട്ടുണ്ട്, ഇമ്മോറാലിറ്റി കൂടിയിട്ടുണ്ട്, ഇൻജസ്റ്റിസ് കൂടിയിട്ടുണ്ട്, അവിടെ എല്ലാം ദൈവം ഇറങ്ങി വന്നിട്ട് ന്യായം വിധിച്ചിട്ടുണ്ട്. അത് പഴയ നിയമത്തിൽ മാത്രമല്ല പുതിയ നിയമത്തിലും സംഭവിച്ചിട്ടുണ്ട്. പക്ഷേ ആ ന്യായം ചെയ്യുന്ന സമയത്ത് തൻ്റെ ഭക്തന്മാരെ കാത്തു സൂക്ഷിക്കുന്ന ഒരു ദൈവം കൂടിയാണെന്ന് ഈ പുസ്തകം നമ്മളെ പഠിപ്പിക്കുന്നുണ്ട്. ഈ അങ്ങനെയാണെങ്കിൽ ഈ കാലഘട്ടത്തിലും ഇങ്ങനത്തെ രാഷ്ട്രങ്ങളിൽ ഇങ്ങനത്തെ ദേശങ്ങളിൽ ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ കരവിരുത് കാണാൻ പറ്റും. പക്ഷേ ഇതിനെ മധ്യത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ പഠിക്കുന്നത് എന്താന്ന് ചോദിച്ചു കഴിഞ്ഞാൽ, ഇതിനെ മധ്യത്തിൽ വിശ്വാസത്തിന് വേണ്ടി നിലനിൽക്കുന്ന ഒരു സമൂഹത്തെ വാർത്തെടുത്തുകൊണ്ട് കർത്താവ് ഈ നാളുകളിൽ തൻ്റെ കണ്ണുകൾ ഈ ഭൂമിയിൽ ഇങ്ങനെ സഞ്ചരിച്ചുകൊണ്ടിരിക്കുന്നുണ്ട്. നാം ആ കണ്ണിൽ പെടണം. അത് മാത്രമേ ഉള്ളൂ ഈ സന്ദേശത്തിൻ്റെ ഏറ്റവും ആത്യന്തികമായ ലക്ഷ്യം. സോ ലെറ്റ്സ് ഗോ ടു ബേസിക്സ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് വൺ. So what happened is that Israel, when they don't want to hear this, and God said, okay, if that's the case, I want you to know what I do. And with this thing, the book starts like this. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1 onwards, the book starts like this. And I want to give a little history through the Bible verses. Let's read it together. During the third year of King, Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Babylon means present world Iraq. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the next verse is very important. The Lord gave him victory over King. So King Jehoiakim was the king of Israel. All right? And during this reign, prophets were crying and shouting, come on, you know what? You need to repent. Leave immorality, leave injustice, leave idolatry, leave all these things, repent. But no one was ready. They were so busy in their business that they didn't have ear to listen any of these things. And God said, and Bible says, God gave Nebuchadnezzar victory over Israel. Can God do this? Giving victory to an enemy against people of God? Yes. This is one thing that we all need to remember. God can use a heathen, pagan king to correct his people. All right? God can use somebody to correct you. God can use anybody to correct you. And then, Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim. And then, over King Jehoiakim of Judah, and permitted him to take some of his sacred objects from the temple of God. So going forward, Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then King ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah, that means Israel's royal family, and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives or slaves. Let's read together over there, verse 4. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. He said, make sure they all are well-versed in every branch of learning. That means in every department. And gifted with knowledge and good judgment. And are suited to serve in. And then the next word is very important. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for how many years? 3 years training. And then they would enter into That means after graduation, what are they going to do? Serving the royal palace. And who all were there? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them. What was that? They renamed them. And what are the and they gave them Babylonian names. For Daniel, what did they call? Belteshazzar. All right? For Hananiah, what they call? Shadrach. For Mishael, what they call? Meshach. And Azariah, they called Abednego. Now listen. Nebuchadnezzar is systematically reprogramming these Jewish young boys. So, during the time when Nebuchadnezzar came and took Judah, captured Judah, he got some slaves from there. He got some good people as slaves and took them all to capital Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar came, he destroyed the Jerusalem temple, which was a fabulous temple that was built up by Solomon. Destroyed everything. They were completely destroyed. And during this time, many people were taken. Almost like 70% of Israelites were taken as slaves. And out of 70% of Israelites, there were few people who were chosen because they wanted to make a good choice. This is how world make a choice. What were their criteria to make choices? Select only strong, only healthy, and only good looking. This is the criteria of the world when they select. What they select? Strong, healthy. Yeah. I know when we were back in Mumbai, there used to be, as pastors, we come together and we get transfer letters. So churches, when they apply for pastors and when they give a request to the council of the major state council, and one of the letters that I read was this. This church asked for a pastor. Pastor, he should be young, very good speaker, eloquent speaker, handle 2 to 3 languages, kids no more than 2. And that was the reason, yeah. Kids no more than 2, and handsome, good looking. And then the next criteria was a man who can do ministry for kids, for youths, and get along with old, and all these criteria. And our overseer was Pastor Matai. And you know, and when he read this, when he heard this, and he said, I have to talk to God and ask him to produce some more human beings with this criteria, because with all these criteria, it has to be Jesus himself to come. And then definitely there will be a Judah again. These are the worldly outlook of how people count. When you go to your job and you know their profile, they will look you completely and they will look everything and they want to make a choice. And this is how world make choice. And Nebuchadnezzar was nothing different from that. And Nebuchadnezzar made this choice and said, make sure that you bring that. And when they got with 3 criteria, strong, healthy, and handsome, good looking. Guess what? Who were there? Daniel. All right. So he was young. You know what? The book of Daniel is a story of 70 years. How many years? I'm going this way because youths, you need to listen this too. So how many years? So this covers the story for 70 years. So when Daniel was taken as captive, you know how old he was? He was 15 years old. He was a teen. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were all teens. 13, 14, 15. And Bible says, and you read this, they were put into a hardcore training. And what were the areas of training? Training was in every, it was not just biology. It was math, bio, chemistry, physics, history, geography, theology, medicine, all kind of things. Because they need to be the most smartest people. And think about, Nebuchadnezzar was a little smart enough because he know that he won't get those people outside Israel. So he bought, you know, he know the mindset of Israel. He said, you know what? Bring some good kids out of this. Train them. Hardcore training. And how long was the training? 3 years. And in that training, They taught everything and finally they taught something more. What was that? The language of the Babylon and the culture of Babylon. That means Nebuchadnezzar was totally reprogramming completely that these kids, teenage kids, will forget their roots. And you know the smartest thing he did? He took these kids out of their family. He took them out of their relatives. He took them out of the church, from synagogue. And throughout this training, they cut them off from everything. They forgot the food that they ate. Even the food was provided from Nebuchadnezzar's kitchen. They were given wine to drink. Come on, drink Babylonian wine. And their literature, their culture, their religion, and their way of worship, all these things were there. And they were put into training. But I want to tell you something. You see Daniel getting this training at a teenage, where he was just 15, and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 13, 14, 15. These teenage who are prone to learn anything, smart, very shrewd, very smart, and so easily accessible, they went to Babylon. But I want to remind you, when we see in the end of this book, when Daniel was at the age of 85, we can see throughout the 70 years, Daniel never bowed before any king or any idols or any god. He kept the faith, even though Nebuchadnezzar reprogrammed him. But the seed that was sown in his heart, in his small age, no training could change them. No king could change them. No culture could change them. I want to remind everybody in this place, every parents, I want to remind, if you are sowing the seed in their life, even though they will learn some languages, even though they will learn some culture, but I want to remind you, the seed that is inside them is stronger, is powerful, is a great seed, and they will bounce back, they will come back. Can I get a good amen, a faith amen over here in the name of Jesus? Let them be trained for 3 years or 6 years, but I know one thing, if you have genuinely sowed a seed, it will come back. And this is a great story. How Daniel made that, that is what we are going to explore. And I don't want you to miss any session, please. We need to explore how did he do that? What made him to do that? But then, let's go a little bit forward. When Daniel was taken over there, and you know what? There were 5 changes that happened in history of 70 years. Twice Babylon was captured. Number one, Babylon was captured by Syrians. And second time, when it again regained its power, they were captured by Persians. So Daniel served as an official, and in the 70 years, he got 5 great promotions without bowing before anybody. He got 5 promotions. Can you be promoted being a child of God? Yes, you will be promoted. When the whole world is shaking, when everything is shaky, when everything is going beyond, when you see your whole foundation is shaking, I want to remind my church, if you remain faithful to the Lord, no matter who comes, no matter who captures, Babylon was taken captive by Syrians. And then when Syrians looked into Daniel, they killed everybody. And they left Daniel and said, Daniel, come on and serve us in our kingdom. And then Babylonian took over them again. And then Babylon said, come on, Daniel, come back. Come on, take your position. He came back. And then Persians came and they took over Babylon again one more time. And Persians killed all other officials. Daniel was only one who was left behind. Can God do this? God can do this. And this is what we are going to explore. Can somebody praise God? I want to tell my church, hallelujah, you are surrounded by so many people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. You are surrounded by so many people who don't obey the word of God. You may see that everything is shaky. Economy is falling down. Your bank is falling down. All the foundations are falling down. Oh, no matter who comes on the government, who reigns over the kingdom. But one thing is certain, everything is designed by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. My God designs and my God places. When God placed you in a place, when you are positioned in a place, you are placed with an anointing and your anointing flows over there. My God will make a way for you. You will survive in every place if you remain faithful. And at the end, at the age of 85, Daniel said, you know what? I need retirement. And that was the time when Babylonian kingdom was again there. End of the Babylonian kingdom. And he said, I want to retire. And he took retirement. He went home. And then in Babylonian kingdom, there arises a big issue, a great famine matter, a great matter where the whole empire is shaken. You know what? The king of that time called Daniel out of his retirement and told him, come out of that. Please come and serve us. And after retirement, he was made as the second most powerful person in the whole Babylonian dynasty. And that was after the retirement. Now, my question is, why God? You just think about this, such a great man of God who never bowed to anybody. He never knelt before an idol. Kept that faith. Why God allowed him? And this is one question that we all ask. Why God allows suffering? And this is what we need to understand. That sufferings is something, problems and shaky things and all this disaster that comes to you. Let us not be surprised about it. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. And let's read it together. Dear friends, 1 Peter 4, 12. Dear friends, don't be shocked or surprised. Let's read it louder. When you suffer through painful tests and trials, as if something strange is happening to you. Don't feel that it's something strange. Shakeups are normal in a broken world. We don't live in heaven. We live on earth. It's a broken world. And in broken world, everything is shaky. Everything is shaky. Everything is temporary. So in a temporary world, when you go through suffering, don't be surprised. Oh, I didn't know that. God has told you in advance. What is that advance thing? John 16:33. In this world, you will experience difficulties. But take heart. I have conquered the world. I have told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable at peace and deeply at peace. Unshakable and deeply at peace. I'm telling you, a friend, that definitely believers, brothers and sisters, you are going to face sufferings. You are going to face problem. But when you face problem, oh, why this came in? Please don't think about that. But then there is something that God wants to do. I want to remind you, if you read the whole Bible, there are four sources from where the problems comes to you. There are four sources, four places from where you will have problem. Number one, from where you have a problem is you yourself. Many problems comes to us because of our speech. Many problems comes to us because of our own attitude. Many problems comes to us because of our own carelessness. Because of our own fight, most of the problem that we face, and the reason is nobody else but you yourself. Second, world gives us problem because this we don't belong to this world, and world is always looking to put you down, to shake you up, to destroy. That is the world. World want to tell you need my approval to do this. If you want to wear a particular dress, you will think, what is the norm today? The tie norms are changing every day. Your dress norms are changing every day. and you look for an approval. Every time when you go and buy a dress, you like, I like some of those dresses when I was like in my 15s. I like the haircut, the how I used to have when I was 15 and 16. But today, it doesn't approve me. It doesn't give me an approval, right? Your approval standard is different. So we always tend for approval. So world is second problem. Third, Satan. Satan, and Bible says, enemy want to kill, to destroy, and to steal. Enemy is your problem. And the fourth thing is, whether you, Satan, or world, when all these three things, all these three together, when they cause problem, the fourth one is God himself. God allows the problem to come to your life. And I'm going to talk about when God allows the problems to come in your life. Do you think world, Satan, and your wrong decision can really affect you? If you believe in God, unless God allows, God has to allow. Even if the world has to touch you or Satan has to touch you, my God has to allow that, right? Right? So why God allows when you go through what you go through? Why God allows? There is a reason. And Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, and we know very, very clear. What's that? The plan I have for you are the plans for good and not to harm you. They are the plans to give you hope and future. How many of you believe that I am in the plan of God? I am in the plan of God. Amen. No matter what you're going through, can somebody say, I am in the plan of God? I am in the plan of God. Oh, my marriage is in the plan of God. My kids are in the plan of God. Even though I don't see today, I don't see any result today, but I am in the plan of God. Can somebody declare faith one more time? Can you declare by faith one more time? I am in the plan of God. Can you praise God positively because you are in the plan of God? Today you are with a wife. This is the plan of God. The husband that you have is the plan of God. The kids that you have is the plan of God. The church that you have is the plan of God. You are in Georgia. This is a plan of God. This was destined long time back by Almighty God. Amen. എത്ര പേർ വിശ്വസിക്കുന്നുണ്ട്? ഞാൻ ഇന്ന് ആയിരിക്കുന്ന സാഹചര്യം ദൈവത്താൽ ലഭിച്ച സാഹചര്യമാ. എന്റെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ ദൈവമല്ലാതെ വേറെ ഒന്നുമില്ല. ഈ ദൈവം നൽകി തന്ന കുടുംബങ്ങൾക്കായി, ദൈവം നൽകി തന്ന ജോലികൾക്കായി, ദൈവം നൽകി തന്ന കൂട്ടുവിശ്വാസികൾക്കായി ആ കരങ്ങൾ ഉയർത്തി ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കാൻ പറ്റുമെങ്കിൽ ഒന്ന് സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്തേ. When you know, when you're declaring it, you are telling Satan. You are actually telling Satan. You know, Satan, no matter you are bringing all this to me, but I know I'm in the plan of God. So we need to see why all these things comes in our life. Amen. There are problems that comes in your life. So first thing is, there are five things that I want to tell you. First thing is, when God allows a problem in your life, he wants to inspect you. He wants to search you. Read Jeremiah 17:10. The Lord, let's read together. The Lord searches our hearts and examines our deepest motives so he can give to each person his right reward according to how he has lived. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, it is a common thing for everybody when a problem comes. The first thing is that we want to know whom to blame. We will play a blame game. When an issue comes in our life, we will think about, okay, whom should I blame now? Whom should I blame for this problem? I lost my job. Who was the reason? Oh, this lady who comes and nag me every time in my office, she's the only one reason. You get a problem in your church, then you feel, oh, what's the reason? Who did this? What is the reason behind it? We are always thinking about a blame game. But let me tell you, more than who is behind it, God, we should think about why God is doing this. God wants to show you, when you have a problem, God wants to show you, you had this problem because your intentions were so bad. Your intentions were so bad. We all come through this problem. We all, everybody, our intentions, motivations, motives, our thoughts behind it was wrong somewhere. And that's the reason why we end up in an issue or in a problem. Whatever we do, if we do with that intention, it's always a wrong intention. I still remember, you know, there was somebody who fed us very well sometime. And then one fine morning when he had an issue, he said, you know what? I gave you something and you never gave me back that. So when he gave, his intention was to give him back. Brothers and sisters, whatever you do, if your intentions are bad, you will always get hurt. But if your intentions are good, you will never get hurt on any of those things. Make our intentions good. If you give somebody a money, a loan, if you give something to somebody, if you donate something to somebody, never expect them to do the same thing back to you. Those are worldly people who do that. Let our intentions be different. Amen. When you come to church, don't think about what I will get in this church, but think about what can I give to this church. Amen. Our intentions are, many a times we cannot thrive. Many a times we cannot thrive because our intentions are wrong. You know, in your family, and I have heard this one thing, that I have done so many good things to everybody, but I have been hurted by every single one of them. ആർക്കൊക്കെ നന്മ ചെയ്തിട്ടുണ്ട് അവരെല്ലാവരിൽ നിന്ന് എനിക്കൊരു ദോഷമേ കിട്ടിയിട്ടുള്ളൂ. എപ്പോഴാണ് സംഭവിക്കുന്നത് അറിയാമോ? നന്മ ചെയ്തിട്ട് നന്മ പ്രതീക്ഷിക്കുന്നതും കൊണ്ടാണ് നിങ്ങളത് പറഞ്ഞത്. നന്മ ചെയ്തിട്ട് മറന്നു പോകുക. ജസ്റ്റ് ഡു വാട്ട് യു ക്യാൻ ഡു ആൻഡ് ഫോർഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ്. ഹലോ ചർച്ച്, ഹലോ ചർച്ച്. So when you do certain things and you won't get your expectation back, God is searching your heart and telling you that this was your motive, intention. So first, God wants to correct us. He wants to search us. And you know what? When Israelites came out of Egypt, they were in wilderness for how many years? How many years? 40 years. Do you know how long was that? How much time would they take to reach to the promised land actually? It was the way for 3 days. It was just a way for 3 days. And when they completed one lap and God tested them, they failed. And God said, okay, take another lap. And God again tested, said, no, take another lap. And they took lap over lap over lap for how many years? 40 years. And then finally, few people, they died, and few of them get into the promised land. This is exactly what's going to happen to us, to my brothers and sisters, when God searches us, and when he finds that, you know, everything that you did was with the wrong motive, he will ask you, okay, put another lap. And that's the reason still, many of us are still doing the lap. We are there in the same place where we began. We're in the same place where we started. We are in the same place where we started. And the only reason is that God is telling you, change your intention. Oh, can I get a good amen here? When you see failure, that's not actually failure. God is just telling you, this is your motive. Take another lap. But one thing is sure, I will take you to my promises. Even though you fail, I'm not going to leave you. I will make you to do another lap. And finally, I will take you over there. So that was one thing. Second thing, when God allows problem, he, first of all, is something that he's inspecting me. Second, he's correcting me. He's correcting me. Let's read Hebrew chapter 12, verse 8 to 11. Let's read it all together. I want a loud voice. Look into the screen. Please don't open Bible. Look at the screen and let's read together. All the Sunday school kids, let's together. Hebrew 12, 8 to 11. God corrects all his children. And if he doesn't correct you, then you don't really belong to him. Our earthly fathers, I will read it together one more time. What's that? Our earthly father. Come on, read it one more time. I didn't get a good voice. Come on, read it. I want to read it together. Our earthly, look unto your earthly fathers and your mothers. Our earthly fathers correct us and we still, because you are under the roof, right? You still respect them. Isn't it even better to be given true life by letting our spiritual father correct us? Our human father correct us for a maybe 15 years, 18 years, and maximum 20 years. In America, no more than 18 years. But in India, even up to 50 and 60 and 70, they do that. In India, we do that. And so I still have that chastisement. So our human fathers correct us for a short time. And they do it as they think best. Okay, I think this is the best, and I do accordingly. But God correct us for our own good, because he wants us to be holy as he is. Read it together louder. It is. Okay, let's read it one more time. And louder, louder. It's never fun to be corrected. In fact, at the time, it's always painful. But if we learn to obey by being corrected, we will do right and live at. Can we give up a good hand to God for such a great verse? For such a great verse. This is God's word. This is God's word. So when God chastises us, when he corrects us, when something happened to you, don't think, oh, who? When we have an accident, definitely we should think about, oh, how did this happen? And we entered into an accident. Oh, it was his mistake. It was my mistake. Signal mistake. Whose mistake? Definitely we do that. But when you see the police comes and blue lights and everything and you get a ticket and when you are back in your seat, now think, Lord, what do you want to tell me? Lord, then he will say, you know what? I want to tell you that you were so careless in driving. It was 40 miles speed, actually, and you went over 60. Like me, I do that. And God is correcting you. So every time when something happened, finish up the matter of this earth and sit back and ask God, Lord, what are you talking to me in this situation? When you go through a sickness, you definitely need to do that. A sickness, it's a chest pain, whatever it is. You know, sit back and ask, Lord, what is that you're telling me? It's always good to ask Lord, because he wants to correct us. Hebrews chapter 12, 26 and 27. And we will read it all loud together one more time. I want everybody to see. Look into the screen, please. Don't look down. Don't look onto your phone. Please look into the screen and let's read it together. When he spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But next time, he says, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too. By this, he means that he will swift out everything without solid foundation, so that only. Now, this is what exactly happening all over the world. He's shaking the world so that only unshakable will remain. Amen. He's shaking the whole believers, my whole group. He's shaking churches. He's shaking all the believing group so that real people will reign. Vishwasa samuhate kulikkunna drashyam nammal kandondirikkunnathu. Ella sthalathum devam janathe kulikkikondirikkuva. Vishwasikkunnavar maatram nilanilkkathullu. I want you to go with Job chapter 5 and 17. And this is very good verse. Job 5, 17. Consider yourself fortunate when God all-powerful chooses to correct you. So God, number one, God is inspecting us. Second, God is correcting us. Number three, God is directing us. God wants to direct us. And let's read this, Proverbs 16:9. A person may plan his own journey, but the Lord, you want to go to Florida, but God is bringing you to Atlanta. Yeah, many times you want to come to Atlanta, but God is leading you somewhere else. It can happen. You want to do this job, and God wants to say, no, you don't do that job. Go to this job. And many times God closes certain doors. You know why? Because He knows the best for you. He is directing your steps. When some doors are closed for you, say thank you, Jesus. Because you would have entered into a major issue that is being there. God has taken you out of that place. I have heard so many testimonies of people of who missed flight. And then they end up in saying that, you know what? I missed that flight. They were so angry on God. God, you know that I was going for this conference and I missed this flight. And then later on, they found that there was an air accident. And there are people who missed their job, who were fired out of company. And they were fired and God took them out purposefully. And God gave a new job. And then finally, we came to know that there is no more. The company is no more. When God does certain things, say thank you. Have faith to say thank you. Can somebody say, God is directing my step? Amen. Now there are times when you were engaged, or maybe you know you were engaged, or you wanted to get into this marriage and you were all preparing for everything, and at the final moment, everything is backed out and is gone. Thank God when that happened, because that would have been a big issue or big in a heated moment for you and your life that you cannot even survive. God has directed you. ഒന്നിച്ച് ദൈവത്തെ സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്യാം. കർത്താവ് നടത്തിയ വിധങ്ങൾക്കായി സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്യാം. അങ്ങനെ ആണെങ്കിൽ ചില അടഞ്ഞ വാതിലിന് വേണ്ടി ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കാൻ പറ്റുന്ന ധൈര്യമുള്ളവർ ദൈവത്തെ സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്തേ. അടഞ്ഞ ചില വാതിൽക്കായി ഞാൻ ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കുന്നു. എൻ്റെ നടപ്പ് തന്നെ ദൈവം മാറ്റി നടത്തിയ ചില വഴികൾക്കായി ഞാൻ ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കുന്നു. ഐ വാസ് അബൌട്ട് ടു ഗോ ടു ദിസ് ഡിറക്ഷൻ, ഹി ഫോഴ്സ്ഫുള്ളി മൂവ് ടു മീ എ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ഡിറക്ഷൻ ആൻഡ് ദ ഡിറക്ഷൻ ആൻഡ് ഐ താങ്ക് ഗോഡ് ഫോർ ദാറ്റ്. ഹൗ മെനി ഓഫ് യു കൻ താങ്ക് ഗോഡ് ഫോർ ചേഞ്ചിങ് യുവർ ഡിറക്ഷൻ ടുഡേ, ട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് ആൻഡ് ഹോപ്പിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് വാസ് ദ ബെസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഇൻ ടു മൈ ലൈഫ്. ഹി ചേഞ്ച് ആൻഡ് ഡിറക്ട്സ് യുവർ പാത്ത്. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ the next that I have few verses, but I'm just going forward. Proverbs 20:30 sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us. Have you ever read this verse before? This is in Bible. Yeah, sometimes it takes a painful experience. A painful experience when God shifts you. All right, number four, God allows problem to protect us. God allows problems to protect us. Job 36:16. God has led you away from danger, giving you freedom. Many a things that God has diverted, and God asks you to go move out of this place. He forcefully asked you to move out of this place. He forcefully asked you to move out of certain relationship. He forcefully moved you out of certain kind of relationship. There is a reason for it. God knows you will end up in danger. Thank God for those friends who left you already. Thank God for that. You know what? With them, it is better to go to heaven without them than to go to hell with them. When God removes some people from your life, say thank you, Lord. It is painful, but say thank you, Lord. When God brings some people into your life who are tough, again say thankful. Thank you, Lord. Because God knows you will end up in danger. He wants to protect you. Praise God. Fifth thing, and I will close with this, that God shakes up the things. God shake up everything around you to make you perfect. Read 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. And let's read it all together. After you have suffered for a little while. What's that? After you have suffered for a little while. The God of all grace, who calls you to share His eternal glory in union with Christ, will Himself perfect you and give you firmness, strength, and sure foundation. Amen. If we are going through a little pain, if we go through a tough situation, struggle situation, guess what God is doing? God is making you perfect, and He is giving you firmness. He is giving you strength, and He is giving you a sure foundation. Thank God. Amen. 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 And I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, nothing will touch you without the permission of my God. And when my God permits to touch you somewhere, in any areas of your life, it is not to destroy you, but to make you, to correct you, to perfect you, and to lead you in his path. Can somebody shout out and praise God? Can somebody praise God? Hallelujah. I thank God for the situation that I am going through. I thank God for the people who left me. I thank God for the families who left me. I thank God for the boss who left me. I thank God for all those employees who left me. I thank God for all those who came in my life, because in all things, God has made me to know that I have a plan for you. Amen. Amen. ചെറിയ പ്രശ്നം വരുമ്പോഴും ഇതാര് ചെയ്തു, എന്തിനു വേണ്ടി ചെയ്തു, ഇത് റിസർച്ച് ചെയ്യാതെ ചെയ്യേണ്ട ഒറ്റ കാര്യമേ ഉള്ളൂ, കർത്താവ് നീ എന്തോ ഇതിൽ കൂടി എന്നോട് പറയുന്നത്. Amen. And you know what? The best thing is, when you see all this suffering, Christ is the perfect example. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. He took all the pains of the people, all the curse of the people, all kind of sin upon his shoulder. He took that cross and went onto that mountain of Calvary. He went onto that Calvary, took all this cross, and he said, hallelujah, I give all my things to you. I am suffering just for you. Cross is a reminder that God made Jesus Christ to suffer so that through that cross, he can instruct us. Through that cross, he can correct us. Through that cross, he can direct us. Through that cross, he can perfect us. Through that cross, he can protect us. Can somebody praise God? I am being instructed because of the cross of Calvary. I am being directed because of the cross of Calvary. I am being protected by the cross of Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all our sins, that can take away all our curse. He is here today and he's extending his grace to you. And when he asked us to go through suffering, he made his own begotten son to suffer the most. Our sufferings are temporary, but my Lord, he took the shame, he took the curse, he took the mocking, he took the beating, he took the whipping. His body was pierced, or his blood was oozed. It was only one reason, that he loved you and me. Hallelujah. So our momentary sufferings are just nothing before the suffering of Jesus Christ. Can we look at the cross of Calvary? And now this cross says, I want to guide you. I want to lead you. How many of you would like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? Amen. Or when you go through issues, whether it's good issue or bad issue, there's only one reason that you're going through. And the reason is to make you a child of God. How many of you would love to be corrected by God? Can I see some hands over here? Can I see some hands over here? How many of you would love to be directed by the Lord? Can I see some good hands over here? Come on, don't feel shy about lifting up your hands. Be bold and let Satan know that you are in the sight of Jesus Christ. Because Satan cannot search your heart. You have to show him by action. Satan doesn't know what is in your mind. You have to tell by your action, I am with Jesus Christ. I want to be directed by Jesus Christ. I want to love Jesus Christ. I want to be protected by him. I want to be perfected by him. Come on. When you go through crisis, when you go through suffering, one more time, tell Satan, you are defeated, Satan. I am not on your side. I am going to Calvary. Hallelujah. I am going to Calvary. Hallelujah. When he's defeating you with shame, with mocking, with so many questions, tell him, still I am not with you. I am going to Calvary. And that's the reason why Paul says, even if he beat me, even if he is killing me, even if whatever happens, I am for my Lord. Avanene adichal avanene snehikunnu. Hallelujah. Once Jesus said to Peter, came and told Jesus, Lord, everybody's leaving you. Oh, your ways are not good. And then Jesus looked into the eyes of Peter and said, Peter, do you want to leave? You can also leave. And this is what Peter said. Eternal life, the source of eternal life. You are the source of eternal life. Where can I go leaving you? For me, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is. How many of you would love to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? And this is a series. I'm not just giving a sermon, but let's make it a practical implication. I want you to close your eyes. And if you want to resurrender your life, will you please lift up your hands? And as we stand in the presence of God, come on, stand with me as you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And say that, Lord, I come to the cross of Calvary. We have Lord's table. We are coming to the cross of Calvary. Please close your eyes. Every eyes to be closed. I request you in the name of Jesus, every young and old. And if you can lift up your eyes, your hands in the presence of the Lord, as if you are surrendering. In the midst of struggle, God has a plan for you.